Susan. And to finish it off, we have Sean. And then we'll ask questions after. Not Sean.
Hi, my name's Sean. I have alcoholism.
lots and lots. A whole
bunch. I really hate talking about this topic from the podium, and Liz knew that, so she made sure that I was selected for this panel. My sobriety date, 7/23/88. Last time I got loaded was on my 17th birthday, and it was actually my one and only relapse. I'm going to try to talk more about emotional sobriety than myself. And this is why I don't really like talking about this topic from the podium. Turns out there's kind of like a really, really big history behind the emotional sobriety thing, and what, you know, the letter that was delivered to the grapevine and the little part that's put in a 12 and 12 is very, very minuscule part of it. And it's kind of like, honestly, it's like reading how it works and saying you've worked the steps and you know the program, and you know, it's just not, you're like scratching the fucking surface. And it turns out there's actually like an entire bulk of work based on the 12 steps and on the St. Francis prayer that are intended to deepen the experience that you have with the 12 steps and your higher power. And it's really something that, you know, ended up getting pushed into the background of AA and passed around amongst old timers. And that's why in the grapevine note, oldsters are mentioned several times, because it's really not even something that is meant to be done with people with only a few years. And it's kind of interesting, and it makes sense when you know how it was developed. Bill Wilson went into a very serious depression and kind of started losing his mind, and it progressed over several years, and he started doing a lot of fucking crazy shit. People thought he was drinking. He was about to check himself into treatment. Finally, he went and sought psychiatric help from a man named Harry Tybo, and Dr. Tybo was his big thing was the ego, you know, and how our ego handicaps us, how it handicaps our perception, how it handicaps my ability to look in the eye of my fellow man and connect with you on a spiritual, emotional level, you know what I mean? And which was kind of a fucking God made that match happen, because, you know, Bill couldn't be just an anonymous member of the program he created. Every single meeting he went to, he was either a hero or people talked shit about him and stabbed him in the back. You know, so like he didn't even get to be a member of AA as we know membership. And this created a really big struggle for him. And, you know, he was kind of always battling with this ego. And I love to go to meetings to be of service, but I also love because I get all this fucking attention and everybody feeds my ego, and I get blown the fuck up and put on a pedestal, you know. And over time, this really like handicapped his ability to have the experience and recovery that the rest of us get to have. And which is, you know, kind of sad and unfortunate. So he's going to Tybo actually with the intent of getting on medication. And if don't fucking hear me share and then go home and stop taking your fucking medication, please. I'm just going to say that right now. Like, the reason why that little part about we are not doctors is in the book is because someone actually fucking died. Like, don't stop taking your medication because of anything I fucking say. But, he goes there intent on medication, and back then psychiatrists actually saw you for several sessions, and their work was really close to psychology, and it took them a while to prescribe you any kind of drug. And after seeing him for a while, he basically tells him point blank, like, what you have is spiritual depression. It's not chemical, and there's nothing, no pill that I can give you to fix what you have. And what it is every situation that you go into, at some level, it's about you and your ego, you know? And it's kind of funny because the label emotional sobriety, it, like, leads me to believe that I need to focus more on my own feelings. And the reality is that's actually the exact opposite. I need to focus on my connection with you and the world around me so that I can allow my spiritual condition to be treated enough so that my emotional nature then becomes stable. You know what I mean? It's through forgetting oneself that I find, not through focusing on my feelings, I fucking whatever. You know, that shit's great for normal people. Like, go to a Tony Robbins seminar, you'll be great, you'll be fine. But we have a fucking spiritual disease that is largely self-centered. You know what I mean? I don't get better by focusing on myself. I just don't. And when I focus on you, I'm able to fill this void that is effectively keeping me alone in the dark. And when I'm alone in the dark, I do crazy shit, man. I spend, I cheat on girlfriends, I fucking steal money, I fucking get loaded, I fucking do all manner of things. You know what I mean? And the reason why is because I'm trying to treat that spiritual illness. And, you know, I kind of take it a little bit personal when people are running around telling each other to effectively implying, like, run around and worry about your own feelings all the fucking time. Don't. Run around and worry about each other all the time. Run around, like, the guy that you've sat next to at a meeting the last fucking 3 weeks and have never said hello to, worry about that dude for 3 fucking minutes. Stop thinking about your feelings all the fucking time. Then you'll treat your emotional sobriety. You know, it's kind of, I'm super passionate about this. I myself have struggled with depression even prior to getting loaded. The neighborhood kids felt that it was actually a good solution for my depression was to get me high. So that's kind of how the whole alcoholism thing started. But getting sober again, years into sobriety, it like that fucking came around again, you know, and I had to fucking get into it again. And by the time it got to the point of like, man, you're either going to fucking work on this or you're going to fucking get loaded or blow your brains out, like, really didn't arrive to me until I had about 21 years sober. And, you know, I had dealt with a breakup a while prior. And as time went on, it was becoming more and more damaged. And my level of hurt was not proportionate to the level of what had occurred, you know? And I got to the point to where, like, 8 times in 1 day, I randomly burst into tears in public and all this shit. And it was a fucking nightmare. I thought I was completely losing my mind. I got put on the phone with one of the guys that, like, founded EMDR, and fucking, like a bunch of people with a bunch of time were, like, really concerned, like, Sean's fucking losing his shit. And throughout that process, I ended up finding some people that work had been passed down through, and I was taken through that process myself. And, you know, the way it was presented to me is essentially that, like, it really truly is about me and my higher power and where's my relationship with that, you know, because I don't have what is referred to in that material as emotional buoyancy. Okay. My natural state emotionally and spiritually is basically to kind of fucking nosedive. You know, it's always, my head poisons everything. It's always fucking bad. And I don't have the ability to just, like, process events, feelings, and emotions in a normal way. And then just kind of go back to normal and just keep hitting my knees and everything will be great. Like, I can't do that, you know? Over a period of building that regiment, I start to just check the boxes and I don't even feel anything anymore, you know? And I start to not get the results anymore from the program that everybody else is getting. And so I have to challenge myself and, like, push myself further and do that much more to think about others. And I have to treat my body well physically. I have to take care of myself physically. I have to watch what I eat to keep that depression element, like, really at bay. And, You know, I do a lot of weird little things that are kind of fucking inconvenient, you know? I try to always expand the circle of people that are around me. I'm a kind of a big believer in this program of like, if you've had the same little group of friends for the entire time you've been sober, you're fucking doing this wrong. Like, and if people like you were the foundation of this program, we wouldn't have a fucking program. So reach the fuck out to each other, you know? You care about Alcoholics Anonymous, then care about the person fucking sitting next to you. I don't know, man, but essentially that's really it. Like, I have to watch out for allowing my connection with the higher power to grow so weak in its power. You know, like, let's say if I need 20 volts of electricity spiritually to treat my spiritual disease, and through lack of gratitude and kind of doing the same old thing day to day, I'm down to 2 or 3 volts, you know, and then some new shiny thing comes along and that's pushing fucking 8 more volts of power. Like, I'm automatically going to go to that, you know, or some dysfunctional relationship that's nice and chaotic and fucking produces a lot of power. Like, I'm going to go straight to fucking that, you know, like, and the list goes on, even down to, like, you know, being physically reckless with hobbies and shit like that. Like, it's this search for power that is fundamentally created because of the lack of power that I have with the connection with my God. And so, yeah, I don't know. I guess that's really about it. I just fucking Liz, I'm going to get you for this. But yeah, the one thing that I really want you guys to take from this is to, if you really want to become emotionally stable, start caring more about the people around you. Start reaching out to the people in your home groups, start reaching out to the newcomers, and start building instead of just focusing on yourself. And I'll pass.
Cool. Now we've reached the question portion of the panel. If you have a question, let me know, and then you can come up here and ask it, and then they'll answer it. What's up, Mariana?
Sean.
Come on up. You got to say it into the microphone.
Oh, are you serious?
I'm yeah. Super serious.
Oh, look. Hey, Sean. At what point in your sobriety do you think you first experienced emotional sobriety, and what brought on the event?
Let me pull up here. Go say it into the microphone.
Motherfuckers. I think, honestly, I think probably not till right around that time at 21 years sober. I feel like probably my first 10 years sober, I hadn't even really completely arrived yet, you know? Like, I don't know if that makes sense to people that are really, really new, but, like, you know, everywhere I went, everything had to be, like, super high energy, and everything had to have an element of chaos, and you know, like, I'm like, I can't be present unless you're fucking throwing something at me. You know what I mean? Like, I can't manage to just stay in the fucking moment. And as a result, any type of emotional connection I build is obviously not that genuine, you know? And after a while that went away, and I started to learn how to show up emotionally and to really kind of open my heart up to life, and you know, that resulted in some hurts, and that's when I kind of figured it out, you know. And it was really kind of funny because I went to my sponsor and I was like, you know, how can I be so fucking heartbroken with 21 years sober? And she looks at me and goes, well, maybe it took 21 years for you to get a fucking heart. And I think that was probably about the moment. Thank you.
Anybody else?
What do I have to
know? Yeah. You, then you. No, you, then you. Or whoever's coming up, whatever, you're next.
I'm gonna let you do you.
Great. It's nice to see you. What was the name of the book? You mentioned a book, and there was a whole book, and it was it called Emotional Sobriety? There's
that's just a collection of materials.
Yeah, it's a collection of stuff from Grapevine.
Oh, it's parts of the Grapevine. I feel like there's a book called Emotional Sobriety.
Oh, someone probably wrote one later on.
And like put it all those pieces together.
A couple of those,
actually. All right, cool.
That was what I was.
Cool beans. Hot guy.
Yeah. You have no pants.
I have no pants.
Okay. I'm so sorry. I forgot your name. Just the girl with the bangs and the tattoos.
Susan.
Susan, yeah. As a non-religious man myself, I was wondering, like, the biggest obstacles that you had to go through. Because I know, I mean, we open and end with God and certain things and the steps. Like, what were the biggest obstacles for you to get through the steps? Because I know religion and, I mean, I believe in higher power and whatnot, but how did that... I think you get what I'm saying.
Okay. So I could go on about this for like 3 days. I'll just summarize it. I got comfortable with saying something that I had. It's like going through the big book in the beginning. I'll just remove the religion out of it. In the beginning, I didn't believe that I was an alcoholic because I shot heroin. And alcohol wasn't really my thing. Because I'm really actually allergic to it. And then I started inventorying my behaviors, and I changed every time it said alcohol to heroin, right? And so, and then finally, when I started to have some growth and progress in the steps, I realized it's all the same. Also, I had, you know, a relapse. But the same thing for God. Like, I couldn't come up with an idea of what a God could be for me, because I grew up, my family... on my mom's side is super Catholic and my dad's side is super Mormon. So I'd always had like just, yeah. And I didn't ever want to pick because I didn't want to upset anyone and I didn't believe in either of them. And so when I came here, I had somebody tell me initially, just think of a tree. Like think of a really big tree with really deep roots, hundreds of years old, like in the redwood forest that came before you and will be here probably after you. Cleaning the air and just and doing all these like great things that have nothing to do with you. And so like that's kind of where I started. And then it just sort of evolved. Like I don't like saying the word God. I don't say it during prayer time. If the Lord's Prayer is being said, I just bow my head. You know what I mean? I also don't judge anybody who does. I'm kind of envious still of people who do believe in Jesus or God or whatever. But it's not an issue anymore. In the beginning, I didn't allow it to be so much of a struggle that it prevented me from staying. Because there's a lot of people that do. I just went with whatever felt good in the moment. So.
Thank you guys so much. We're out of time, so we're not going to pray. We're just going to high-five the person next to you and then get out. Thank you, everybody.
Where's the speed?